The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A warning from the outset that our next report is going to cover issues that some listeners may find distressing and will not be suitable for little ears. Sadly, many conflicts are raging around the world, and some are more publicly discussed than others. And one country where hopes for peace are fragile is Ethiopia, and in particular the northern Tigray region. Trokra is working on the ground to rebuild the lives of those impacted by this conflict. And our reporter Josh Crosby travelled to the area that has been left devastated by a two-year war. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How'd you get on?
Well, we survived it, and I'm back here now in the comforts and security, I suppose, of Ireland, which are luxuries that many of the people we met on our travels are not fortunate enough to have. So for listeners who are unaware of the situation in Ethiopia, Pat, just to give a bit of background, the Tigray region is the northernmost point of Ethiopia. It's estimated the population is around 6 million, although there hasn't been a census carried out in a number of years. So not massively too dissimilar to the population of the island of Ireland. In 2020, there have been months of feuding between the political leaders of this region and the federal government. And it was in November then in 2020 when violence came and civil war broke out. The federal government was backed up by militias from neighbouring regions and countries around Tigray. And the conflict lasted for 2 years, resulting in 1 million people dying, including hundreds of thousands who were killed. And then people also died through the effects of war, limited access to medical supplies, lack of healthcare and so on. So not only have 1 million people died since war broke out, but a further 1 million people have been displaced from their homes, who have fled to camps dotted across the region. I visited two of around 100 of these IDP camps. And first we'll hear from David Madarski, who's a humanitarian advisor for CST Ethiopia. This is a group Trokra is part of. And we met in the grounds of one of these sites for displaced people based in the city of Mekelle. David starts off by telling me how many people are sheltering there.
Totally, we have around 13,500 individuals here living in this compartment.
What I'm looking at here now are corrugated iron shelter shacks.
Yes.
Outside.
Yeah.
But inside the concrete building that I'm looking at, yeah, this used to be a school. This is a former school for the city.
True.
But each room now has been converted into small compartments.
Yes, yes. So now in one room, in a typical classroom size, around 5 households are living in these limited spaces. So yes, it used to be a school. Now it is an IDP center. And as you can understand, if students moved out from this school, the community around here will have some questions, because this is a resource for the community. Now families are forced to send their kids far away from this space.
So that can start friction in the local community?
Definitely. It can create some frictions.
Yeah. So overcrowding conditions can lead to illnesses, bugs, sicknesses spreading among the residents here?
True, true. Since it is very crowded, you can also tell that a hygienic issue is also a concern.
And if you mind me asking, could you share some of your own personal situation? You grew up in the region yourself?
Yes. I was born and raised in Tigray. When the war started, I was here. I was abroad for my study, for my master's study in the Netherlands. And I finished my study and I came back on August 2020. Unfortunately, on November, the war broke out. And since then, the life we used to know in Tigray has stopped to exist, meaning there was no cash, there was no much needed medical supplies, and families were divided. There was no electricity, there was no water, there was no cash, there was no internet, nothing. My friends are also displaced, and some of them also went to the front line. Some of my friends lost their life, and some survived. Even those survived are also struggling with mental health, a lot of mental issues.
That's one of the humanitarian advisors working for Trokra in northern Ethiopia. Now, apart from the camps where people have fled to, what other projects are being provided for those who are affected by the war?
Well, I must say, Pat, the Irish are so well regarded over there when it comes to the charitable work. So, like, we drove for hours one day through all small little villages, and you could see road signs for different development projects. And what would be on the sign? Only the harp of Irish aid. And I even got talking to one local who asked me about the horse Shergar. But when it comes to the projects provided by Trokra, there's a range of services, from trauma-informed schools that have a particular focus on improving the mental health of children traumatised by the war. We also visited a water point in the rural Ethiopian highlands where women and girls go to collect 20 litres of drums. And for many, a water point like this has been life-changing. It's reduced some of their walking distances from what used to be a 4-hour walk to 1 hour. And they're also employment opportunities where they will help families start their own farms and then turn the farm into a sustainable business. So yes, they're all playing vital roles, from protecting the next generation to supplying life-saving resources. But one that is particularly sensitive is the safe space for vulnerable women. What we're going to hear about now contains graphic descriptions of sexual and gender-based violence. And there have been academic reports into the impact of the conflict, and they found that more than half of the women researched had encountered a form of sexual violence during the war. In some cases, family members were forced to rape their relatives. Gang rapes were the most frequent forms of sexual violence. When I visited one of the safe spaces, I met with protection manager Tsaga Amaze, who explained what some women went through. And a warning again, this contains graphic descriptions of sexual violence.
The women who are getting care and getting service are experiencing sexual violence, losing their living economy, losing their children, observing graphic situations as well as situations where they pass through dead bodies, where they observe also mass killings. Some of them are also witnessed a rape which is forced and by a neighbor or family member. So the women who are visiting here had experienced multiple types of crisis as well as traumatic events during the war. The support of the Ireland government, from the donation and the general support of the people of Ireland, the women here are getting treatment, a healing from the trauma they experience.
How widespread was gender-based violence during the war?
The sexual violence in Tigray was used as weapon of war.
The men, the sons, the brothers could have been out fighting in the war, could have been killed, but then soldiers would have come and raped the family.
Yeah, there are a number of women who had been raped by soldiers from different actors. So the women had been left with no one to support. And its intention was also to dehumanize them. And there are also women who had been put like nail, broken glasses and others inside the womb of women, the one to finish next generations.
Their reproductive systems, their wombs were being damaged purposely to stop creation of the next generation of the population.
Yeah, inside the uterus of women. It was rolled with plastic, so there are women who have been found with written that we are cleaning your blood, we are going to damage your womb, so no woman of Tigray will give birth to next generation.
And that was protection manager with Throkra in Tigray, Tsaga Amaze. And if any listeners have been impacted by what has been said, you can contact the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre on 1-800-77-8888. Now, Josh, you mentioned seeing the signs of Irish aid on certain infrastructures and supplies, but have aid cuts globally impacted services on the ground there?
It was difficult for me to compare before and after the cuts, but from speaking with the workers in the internally displaced camps, it has had devastating consequences. Services have been pulled out of camps, there are shortages of medical supplies, sanitary kits for women, the distribution of food has been halted in areas because they can't afford to fuel the trucks. And these cuts are some of the reasons why Troker is appealing to people this Christmas to help children caught in conflict. I travelled to the region with David O'Hare from the charity, and he says public donations are needed now more than ever.
You've heard this yourself, Josh, throughout the week. Communities in every single case have thanked the people of Ireland for not just their support financially, but also being the voice of the people of Tigray.
And David, for people at home, when they see a donation box or they see the ads online, how vital are these donations?
Josh, every euro helps. We visited a school. You saw the difference that the work there was making to kids. That's the future, and that's what the donations from Ireland support. For us, it's all about sustainable development. So donations are funding the life-saving work.
In the grand scheme of the funding, the donations do matter, and particularly more so now with the reduction in the USAID.
Look, the public donations to Trokra have always been the backbone, the lifeblood of the work we do on behalf of the people of Ireland. We're just the conduit. It's even more important now in light of the recent horrific aid cuts by USAID and other countries to their overseas development aid budgets. We heard ourselves in the camp that a lot of agencies had pulled out because they'd no money because of those aid cuts. So it makes it even more important. Thankfully, our own country, Ireland, hasn't followed the trend, and the amount of support we get from Irish Aid here in Ethiopia and the Irish Embassy cannot be underestimated. And I want to take the opportunity, if I may. I've worked for Trokra for over 20 years. The generosity of the people of Ireland never ceases to amaze me.
And that was David O'Hare from Trokra. Now, Josh, what is this current situation in that country and what are the people of Tigray actually appealing for?
Well, in November 2022, the Pretoria Agreement was signed by both sides, meaning the federal government and the Tigray People's Liberation Front. A ceasefire was agreed upon and that has largely held, Pat. The shooting has stopped, but the people of Tigray feel the promises outlined in this agreement are not being fulfilled. We were shown a map of the region and the western zone of Tigray is said to be still occupied by militia and is not under the control of the administration of Tigray. And then there are other fringes of border areas that are the same. Humanitarian access to aid was also a pillar in the agreement, but we're told this is being obstructed by certain actors. When it comes to the situation right now, one increasing method of survival that has been taken is leaving and trying to get to safer countries like such as Europe. Now, of course, we have our own conversations and debates on immigration here in Ireland, so I thought it was very interesting to hear from someone who is aware of the starting point that many people attempt when going on this journey. So as we were driving through the Adigrat area of Ethiopia with Yirgalem Halamariam, who is a protection programme advisor with Trokra, she explained what is happening and how much families are asked to pay if they want to send a child across the border. She says it's 1 million local birr, so in euros that would be around 5,500 euros.
It's number one with these illegal traffickers.
Illegal trafficking is very high in this area?
Yeah, predominantly high, because there is, I think, a displacement through the Afar region. So people are trying to migrate illegally to the Arabic area, especially to Saudi Arabia.
And young children would be picked up?
Yeah, most of the time, every day, people are coming here. They are killed by these illegal traffickers because they ask them money just to pass the border. So most of the people are here, they are poor, they are villagers. They don't have extra money to cover the costs of their kids. So they are highly vulnerable with this illegal trafficking and people are suffering a lot.
One child might escape or pass over the border, but then the family are targeted for not paying the cost.
Yeah, yeah. They can't get money, so they simply kill their children on the border.
What are the traffickers asking? What is the rate they charge, do you know?
They ask for 1 million.
1 million birrs.
Yeah.
So for a family to come up
this
with that money, impossible.
Impossible. It is so very, so devastating. Everybody is begging for that money.
To get out?
Yeah, to get out, but nothing could get.
For those who are successful or who have the money to afford their journey with the illegal traffickers, where is their destination or how does it work?
After Libya, they have to move to different parts, especially to Italy, or most of the time they go to Italy and Germany.
The main destination for everyone is Europe?
Yeah, the main destination is for Europe.
So it must be a very difficult decision for families when they think there is a chance of some future.
The most difficult and devastating.
And that's Yirgalem, one of the protection program advisors with Trokra, based in Tigray in Ethiopia. If you want to find out any more information on this situation, you can check it out on trokra.org. And Josh will also have a documentary airing here on News Talk on Sunday morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.